You got three things in life when you're born. What your mama tells you, what the streets teach you, and what the future holds. Which no one knows. That's the one you got control over.
Way more chemical than political. PTSD from what I wait on the digital. It was snowfall and Reagan gave me the visual. Obama opened his doors knowing I was a criminal.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back. Highly anticipated episode 3 of Snow School, covering Snowfall, the great FX show, the unofficial official podcast of the streets, I'm going to go in and call it. All right, I got some special guests in the class with me today, man, so we can rap and discuss. I'm going to shoot it to you guys, let you introduce yourselves.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me.
It's your boy Nikki Duce, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect from the No Disrespect podcast, Frames Per Second podcast, Dead End Sports. I'm all over the place.
It's your boy M Extra Moneybags in the building, MXTRA3 on all things social media.
Appreciate you guys being here, fellas. So we're going to cover 7, 8, and 9. We do it in packages. Want to give some people some heads up as to what's going on. Appreciate you coming, Nick. The last episode, we're going to do a larger class. Going to invite some more people out. So that's why we gave Nick a taste in this one. Got Animal Brown here, as he said. We got him extra back in the building. All right, so 7, 8, and 9, episode 7. Y'all know how we do things. We're going to get right into it. Pocket full of rocks, a.k.a. Where is Mel?
Mel getting some head.
Man, listen. So we spent this whole episode, man, looking for Mel. Dope change of pace, in my opinion. Did you guys like the switch up?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we wanted to know where Mel was at. When we ended episode 6, that was a cliffhanger. I feel like a lot of these have been cliffhangers lately. Hey, y'all peeped that? Like, it didn't start off this season this way. But these last couple have been some decent little cliffhangers.
6, 7, 8, and 9, all dope-ass cliffhangers, in my opinion. You're right about that.
Yeah, they definitely put all the best content for this season in the back end, which is interesting because going into this season, like, you wanted to see how, like, I always judge a series based on their third season. That's when you know it's going to be either really good or just going down the hill. And they've definitely made this shit very interesting. And, like, this episode was just – the different perspective of it and more going into like the drug user perspective was interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
And because you've been with two seasons with just nothing but drug dealers from various, you know, perspectives, but this one, like,
we're gonna get into that drug usage. Animal Brown still think he can smoke crack out here for $10 million and just be good.
I'm taking
we're gonna get into it.
You're gonna be like Kevin.
Definitely are gonna get into that. M Extra, what'd you think about the change of pace in this episode?
I mean, I just think the tone of this whole season, right after last season, has been executed flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the storyline. I love that they weren't afraid to take the innocence.
Definitely took
from
innocence.
Mel and give us where we are now. So,
facts.
Yeah.
All right. So when I say change of pace, guys, as we all know, we start this episode, Mel's gone. You know, we're looking for Mel. Andre tripping. Andre, her dad's tripping. And he goes and looks in a room. She's not there. So he makes his way next door to Franklin and his family. Now, I found it funny how they play the music. Animal Brown, I know you big on the music and then what's matching on the scene with this. It was funny how they played Franklin's family as the Huxtables almost.
Yeah.
With the dope music playing in the background. Everybody having breakfast. The French toast was flowing like dad cooking. It was really dope how they were supposedly be the criminals and on the other side of the law. And then you got Andre, the upstanding citizen. His life is in fucking shambles.
Yeah.
Did y'all see that? Y'all peeped that? What y'all think?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know it's desperate when, first of all, Andre, at first he was dreaming. Right.
Yeah.
So he had a nightmare and then he woke up to a nightmare.
Facts.
So
he probably wished that the dream was more so true than what was going on. And we're talking about her getting smashed by Franklin.
Absolutely. Room, so. Absolutely. So what made it so funny to me was that he was so desperate that he walked in their crib like, man, look, I know it's on site with me. I feel fuck
look,
all that,
bro,
though.
But look,
I'm looking for
my little girl.
Yeah, my dog. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, anybody else have anything on that?
I thought it was funny that he was just like, he's literally the next door neighbor, but he's also the enemy. And it's always going on that line, keep your friends close and enemies closer. But like for him to just pop up at the crib, like when they just chilling, it was like, nigga,
disrespectful.
Like, out of everybody you gonna ask for help, these the niggas you gonna ask for help.
That's some police ass way of thinking though. Like, but I done dogged you, I done beat the shit out your uncle, but I'm the police, Mickey. You gotta help me out.
No, I don't think I gotta help you out. I don't think it was like that at all. We all known each other for over 20 years.
Right.
So you're my neighbor. Mm-mm. And even though we don't like each other at the moment, you know that Mel is innocent, and this is what it's about. It's not about me and you. It's about her right now. That's why when he mentioned that Mel was gone,
right,
Franklin's mom switched up with her disposition because she said, oh, this is serious.
True.
So I don't feel like it was a police thought that it came up. It was like, my daughter's missing help.
It was a human component to it.
Yeah, that's true. But that's a great point. But I also think that there's an arrogance to it from Andre. Mm-hmm. Like, you just beat the shit out of my uncle. You've literally drawn the line in the sand and saying, I'm gonna ruin everything you love, but now the position's on you where you need me. And you're like, oh, well, my bad, bro.
Well, I mean, I think his arrogance was lost when he came through the door. He came in the most humble way.
He had to.
You got to.
Your daughter's house smoking crack. You know what I mean?
But my thing is, like, they do have a lot of history. But it's not like it's a neighbor where, like, he borrowed my leaf blower and he ain't return it. We literally told him we said some words. We've said damn near on site and everything. And then now that you're in a position of need, I have to be the one who has to show mercy.
Because they love Mel too, though. That's true.
And that's the common denominator.
That's the only reason why they entertain it.
And that's a huge reason.
Yeah, that's what you play on. That it's bigger than me and you. It's this little girl out here in these streets now.
Yeah, they love her.
Franklin, I feel like, even though I was challenging, he did the right thing to be like, okay, I'll take a look around, see what's happening, but not even looking Andre in the face, not even acknowledging anything. Yeah, like, all right, my guy, I understand, but you still ain't shit over here.
It's strictly for me.
Exactly.
That's it. Because he wants to know, too, honestly, if you're being real about it.
Like, if we give him 100%, he got feelings for me.
I think that was his first mistake, though.
Who?
Franklin trying to go search for her.
We're going to explore that. Ooh, we definitely going to explore that. I like that thought. So we get to Leon and Franklin. And Leon wants Franklin to realize that if what they think is true as far as Mel took a route going in that life, that it's a route. How did they get there? What you mean?
Because as far as, like, remember when they was asking around.
Facts.
One of the lookout boys seen her with Wanda.
Yep. Good. So I was going to get to that, so let's bring it up now. I said that the kid right there would play a bigger role in this season, right?
Yes.
On one of the earlier ones. I don't think that this is it. I think that this is alluding to something even bigger. Because he's been sticking around, hanging in the outskirts, and I don't think it was just to be like, hey, well, I did see Mel, even though that was big. Because they gave them the clue as to what Mel may be at, like leading them to the spot where she got served at. But do y'all think that kid right there, that paid off as far as him being hanging around, is it as big as he's going to get?
I mean, it makes sense. He hasn't been that prevalent since like episode 3.
I think you're onto something
as far as that. I think he's going to somehow betray them in a huge way. Like, he's going to be like a small, it's like the small things that add up. And I think he's one of those, like, he's earning their respect slowly and surely, especially Leon. Leon's kind of taking a light to him. Especially when he was trying to fight Fat Boy or something.
Yeah.
Like, and ever since then, it's like Leon has kind of been guiding him, grooming him a little bit. But I think that kid, the way he approached him, I think he has bigger plans than what he's given off as far as like being a helpful lookout kid.
Yeah, I think he wants them to recognize his work ethic and what he can bring to the table. He's just trying to work his way up. And I think we will see more of him, considering we have season 4. So,
and to be honest, he reminds me a little bit of like Franklin starting off.
Yeah, he's smarter. Yeah. He's smarter than everybody around him.
He's a smart kid.
Yeah, he's smarter than everybody around him, and it shows. And that's why they make fun of him, because he knows he's smarter than them.
Yeah, that's 100% true. So they get into a kind of kerfuffle about Mel being from a different life from Wanda, and Wanda will more likely, once she get on that path, that it's a wrap. Franklin seems to think that since Mel had a good upbringing, she can hit the rock one time and she can come back.
Well, I don't think Franklin knew at this point that she had the rock.
No, they didn't.
They suspected. And Leon was trying
Leon
wanted Franklin to realize, look, bro, we finna go looking for her. But if this has happened, understand once we find her, there's still a wrap.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was trying to get him to realize that. And Franklin was like, nah, even if she had a fucked up night, let's say worst case scenario, it's still Mel. She's still going to college. Yeah. Her dad's still a cop.
Yeah. She's stronger than Wanda.
Right. Yeah. Do y'all think that Leon was right or Franklin was right?
No, Leon was right. And Franklin tried to act, you know, high and mighty about it. You know, like, oh, I'm putting Mel on this pedestal, and she would never do this because he—that's just how he feels about it. Yep. But Leon was 100% correct in the situation
because he's seen it before.
Yeah,
that's a fact. He experienced it, and on top of that, I think Franklin—he looks at himself and Leon like they're two different types of people in the same world. But it's like, and like I think Franklin looks at Mel as the same way as him. Like he don't think Mel would do it because he thinks he wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like I consider her in a different light than I even think of you and Wanda. That's why he was kind of talking shit,
and that's why it was such an important conversation.
Yeah,
and it could have gotten worse. Between the two of them,
and then you can see it get a little worse in the later episodes. Yeah. But obviously, we'll cover that.
Exactly, that's a good perspective because I never really thought that Franklin looked at Leon as like his hood friend or something like that. But sometimes. That did come out.
Remember in that first season when they were at the house and he was like, "Damn, bro, you've been living up here and all this shit." He was like, "Yeah," and he was like, "Franklin trying to reassure him like it's not home though." Yeah. But at the same time, you could tell like Franklin can. He's one of those different. Black people that can move there in any line.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
A fact.
And like myself.
And it's. Fuck. Yeah, and it's coming to help him out. It's coming to help him out. So look, after the little kid tells us, "Hey, I seen Wanda earlier. Excuse me, I seen Mel earlier. She got in the car with Wanda. Wanda got in the car with her." This leads them to go to Man Boy because Man Boy knows where Wanda gets her dope at, right?
Yeah.
So at this point in time, Man Boy helping him out. Every time that Franklin came to ask Man Boy for something, he came through. Which side are y'all on? Is Man Boy, we still really don't know for sure, but what do you guys think? Is he a good guy or a bad guy at this point?
I think he's an opportunistic type of dude. Exactly. And I think you should never trust him, which Franklin don't really trust him anyway. But at the same time, it's hard to read Man Boy. I don't know if it's because of his acting or because of his character.
He is bodying it for the simple fact that I still can't tell if he's there to help Franklin or if at one point in time he's going to be like, nah, you out of here, bro, and backstab him.
Opportunist is
but you remember
the
that story?
Word.
Remember that story Franklin told him when he was given, when Leon, him and Leon was giving him the drugs as far as like, I'm just going to give you the product and you do all the rest of it. He was like, remember he told that story as far as like the school teacher or whatever and how somebody beat them up or whatever.
Yeah, he was
and
like, it dude was that like, beat
man
up.
Boy was acting like he didn't know who he was talking about or whatever.
He's
but
like, them niggas wild, man. They was wild.
Franklin in the car told Leon, like, that was the nigga who did it. So that's what Franklin was saying to Leon, like, don't ever trust this nigga because I don't.
Nah, trust him as far as you can throw him.
That's a fact. So we go to the spot that Man Boy lead him to. They had this whole thing where they pissed Leon off. They pull the straps out, and we see Mel's bloody shirt. Right here at this point, I feel like is a pivotal point in the series as far as the writing, as far as how you even get here. Do you guys think as viewers that Mel is dead at this point? You
see
No.
I didn't think she was dead.
No. I thought at worst she was like raped or something.
Mm. No, okay. Now something like that, but not dead. No, that didn't cross my mind.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, when I saw the Spellman bloody sweatshirt, I mean, I knew something happened, but I never thought she was dead 1 second.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't know. I wasn't sure at that point. I think
they would have shown it to me. Like they showed the important deaths. They wouldn't just do off-screen death.
Yeah,
like
that would have been some slaw.
Yeah, and the flashbacks and all that. All
right, so great point bringing up flashbacks. They do go back and show what happens to Mel during the period of time when she gets in the car, how her and Wanda, even how the bloody shirt gets there. I think they show a perfect example of what crackhead life is like because it's an everyday mission to try to get high. And Wanda seen Mel, understood Mel was trying to now get high, and it turned into a mission that led Mel down this path of destruction, we would say. Like, she could have easily found her $20 rock, went and smoked her $20 rock, had her dad's car back there. But she got intertwined with the real crackhead's life and the mission that they own every day, awakened moment to get high. She seen Mel as an opportunity, now speaking to Wanda, and boom, you down that path. And now she's brought Mel down that path because Mel has to defend herself when Wanda snatches her chain off. She got to basically navigate the crackhead lifestyle now because she's smoking crack. What did you guys take from that?
Let me ask, was Wanda in on her getting her car jacked? Was she in on that?
I don't think she cared.
Yeah. Oh, she may just, okay. She I don't know if she that knew, was a setup.
Like, I think she knew it point, may have been a possibility.
Well, may have been, but she's a crackhead. So it's just like you said, it's like all she really cared about is the
mission.
So
it's all about the mission.
So she could have been a part of it, or it don't matter to her. It's like, as long as I get my rock at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
I love this whole scene with them two.
You talked about the writing. That's when they wrote like a crackhead would talk. Like, the way she was convincing her, like, look, I'm going to go do this. We're going to get no $20. We're going to have two rocks of crack.
How sporadic she was. Those the movement.
Bam. Oh, I thought the $20, like all of that
pretending to be your friend and all that shit.
Life. That shit is real.
Yeah.
So they did a great job with the writing on that.
Yeah, I thought the roller skating scene, again, with the music montage was Sail On by Lionel Richie. yeah. as they were skating. That shit was comedy.
I was getting weak the whole time. Especially when she was
like, especially Wanda's face.
Watching the motherfuckers go off of crack highs.
She was like, I feel like you know me so well. Yeah. I was like, man, right, this is insane. This is a crackhead heaven.
Crack high? Come on, yeah. bro. This shit was crazy.
It ended up being a setup, though.
All right, so.
Sheesh.
End up being a setup. She snuck the chain. We see how the shirt got.
I don't think
bloody.
It was set up. I just think it was just it spur of the moment. That's just how she
it's
is.
Part of the mission with Wanda. Yeah. So
it wasn't, it wasn't calculated at all.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Nah, it was more of like she was like, hold on, like, did she say something like, did you smoke the last rock or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
And then from there she was like, how much is that chain? And then from there she was just like, fuck it. I'm like,
it's about the next mission.
Hey, I'm gonna need that chain, man.
Yeah. How we gonna get high again? So everything wraps up and we figure out what happens, right? And Andre, excuse me. Franklin is finally able to get Mel back to Andre. And she goes in the house still high. There's a dramatic scene with Franklin trying to get in the car. You know, they fighting back. They ride in silence, him and Leon. Leon with the I told you so face.
Hey, Leon reaction. Leon's face when he was trying to get her in the back seat. And they showed Leon's face.
It was everything.
Yeah.
That spoke volumes.
He felt that before.
And that's why Franklin couldn't say shit. He ain't say nothing. He was just quiet.
And they both knew, though.
Yeah, they both knew. Pie.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that was a great scene, a testament to some of the acting of this season by everybody that's being done. And she goes in the house. Andre takes care of her. Franklin asks, is she okay? Franklin's mom asks, is she okay? Franklin replies, she belongs to the streets now, essentially.
She on rock now.
The future. Well, the future. She belongs to the streets.
She on rock now.
She on rock
and
now.
And it's interesting that.
Shout out to Dub C for this. Yeah. Great job with Franklin.
She on
this
rock
coaching
now. Hey, he did. My thing is, like, when you see him talk to his mom about that, it's more of like, look at every decision you've made. As Frank, I think Franklin's doing a lot of reflecting in this season, and we'll get to it later as far as these next couple episodes. But the way his mom looks at him, and that you could tell like that's his moral compass. Like now she's realizing, like even though she's accepted this lifestyle to a certain extent, it's still like, my nigga, are you really comfortable with this? Like, right. look at what you just did to the love
that
of your
is
life.
A great point. Because like, I think he starts to realize then, do I want everything that comes with this? The money's cool. I like the lifestyle I'm able to do for my mom, but do I want everything that comes with it? And we get later into that in episode 9 when we see the end scene.
Yeah, and that goes back to the conversation here at the beginning of this episode with Leon. Because Leon was like, you're acting like we're not selling something that's highly addictive.
Yeah, right, like all these motherfuckers wouldn't keep coming back if it wasn't addictive.
That show you kind of how oblivious, or maybe he's blocking that part out of his mind, that frame.
To
him,
and that's what I'm going to. I think mentally, and you're going to see, and obviously we'll talk about it in episode 9, but mentally, like, he's been blocking, you know how you suppress shit for so much that one day it's just going to come out and explode on some random shit.
Right, and that's why I think this episode was great, because at the beginning, you see how he was oblivious, but at the end, he's like, fuck.
Yeah,
because it don't hit you till it touch home. Literally,
right. Now it's right there, out of sight, out of mind. It's right there next door to you. So now you literally.
That was the line of the episode when they dropped off Mel and they looked at each other and said, "Man, what the fuck just happened?"
Yeah,
that summed up the entire episode.
I love how they brought that together.
And it was a great ride.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was a great ride. It seemed like at first it was going to be totally off storyline, but they wrap it all together brilliantly. That was a dope episode. Before we get out here on that episode and go to episode 8. Jules does try to convince Teddy to give it all up and run away with her. Teddy considers it for a minute, it looks like, as he contemplates when the screen fades out. Right then, do you think, is Teddy in too deep, or he's actually considering, like, this is the love of his life, like we speaking of Mel and Franklin, this is the love of his life, his baby mama, or is the game the love of his life for Teddy? Did y'all think that he was going to actually go away with her, or did y'all think that he, like,
hell
completely
nah.
bullshit?
Yeah, I knew he was. As soon as that Asian dude was saying, like, bro, she ain't like us, bro. We some killers. We some motherfuckers. We in this to the end.
Till we die.
Till we die. And it goes off that saying as far as, like, you pretend to be somebody for so long, you end up becoming that person. Like, that's what Teddy, like, Teddy really has been Reed Thompson
Reed.
for the longest. Like, he left his son. He left his chick. Like, at this point, it's like, how much does he have to prove to you that he don't give a fuck about that life?
Yeah,
no more?
Nah, he in too deep like Omar Epps.
I was just finna say, I was about to use that line. Yeah. You ain't no cop, Jay Reed.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't no cop, Jay Reed.
Yeah, he out of it.
So Teddy is definitely, I think that his allegiances are more so towards saving the country, he claims.
Yeah, that's what I say. He cares about America, but he's so entrenched in this whole thing. And he
can't
really
see
thinks
the forest for the trees.
He can do it. And and she just throw him.
Well, I think his mission, he has to believe in that. That's like his Bible verse that he goes by. Like it's like I have to believe in this because I've done so many fucked up things that at the end of the day I have to say it's for my country.
Yeah,
because if I just say it's because I'm a drug dealer, then I'm just I'm a bad guy like everybody else.
So could, and we'll get out of this episode after this, but I feel like Teddy could have prevented a lot of bullshit that's about to come his way had he just said that. Be like, look, man, I know that, like, what you're trying to do, and we can run off together. It's been a good couple of months, but nah.
But because he's still trying to be entrenched. Good. But he's still trying to be good at the end of the day. So like, you
lying,
see,
and lying, I feel like lying to himself got him in the position mm-hmm. with the girl, what she did, what she did.
Yeah.
So let's go to.
Hold on. Before we get out of this one, though. Yep. Two things. I didn't know Spelman was named after a white person.
Well, you didn't know that?
No. I didn't know that either.
Rockefeller's
a wife or something like that. We know that from the episode.
Yeah, but
but I didn't know that previously.
I didn't know that
Morehouse
either.
And Spelman were found about white people.
Mm-hmm. I knew Morehouse.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
Damn.
I just learned something new. And what year is this?
Can you ever be pro-black?
Nick was so disappointed that damn. He's like,
that's crazy.
Just when we thought we had us.
Nah, I didn't know that.
It's other HBCUs that found about white people, though.
Yeah, but that's I didn't know that. Is,
yeah. Yeah, I get it. what year is this right here? Is this 84?
84
I think so.
83, 84, somewhere in there.
No, I think it's a little after the 83.
Really? Yeah, I think the first season was 83. They're it's now in the 84. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so 84.
Because she was playing a song that came out in 84.
Okay.
Because Franklin has a pager.
Yeah.
Niggas had pagers in 84?
100%.
No, in the mid-80s, they started having pagers. Yeah.
84.
Really?
Especially Franklin. Now, think about this.
Also, niggas like him.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about Rick Ross. Freeway okay. Rick Ross okay. had a pager in 84. 100%. I'm okay. going with that. So.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm trying to make sure the timeline is correct.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, what's this?
Not every nigga would have had
one. I got my pager in 99. Nigga, I was late in the motherfucking. All right, I'm with you. Go ahead.
All right, so episode 8 is Hedgehogs. Hedgehog, that's the name of the episode.
Shout out to Sonic.
Yeah, shout out to Sonic. And
the most famous hedgehog.
Fantastic story told by Jules and the Hedgehogs that I did not know. When they were talking about keeping the hedgehog warm and sticking each other, that was
fine. Yeah, that was hard.
We get a montage in this episode of Mel 1,000,000% in the crack smoking blender. Like, everything that a crackhead does, from sneaking out to lying about it, pawning shit, stealing shit, lying about, I'm going to do right and do better, taking their family members and loved ones through that whole loophole that it has to do with. When you guys were looking at this, did you consider this to be a sad scene, an eye-opening scene? What were your reactions from the montage of Mel smoking crack?
I thought it was a beautiful montage.
Okay.
Like, and then to see, like, how Andre fit into that, too, was, like, as a father. Just, like, take the cop away, take a black man. Just, like, as a father looking at your child go through this. A child with so much promise. A child that you've strategically designed to keep away from this shit.
You literally,
and still end up,
yeah, you literally spend every waking day trying to avoid this for her.
And this is, and it ended up happening, and it's just like, to see those trials and tribulations, it was just like, and then the music. I mean, we talk about the music a lot, but that shit was
shoddy. That, listen,
that was just,
the Everybody Loves the Sunshine. Like, it's and that's what's crazy. You called it a beautiful montage. It was a beautiful montage of someone sneaking away to smoke crack. You see what I'm saying? The juxtaposition of the content with the sound and the slow motion and the fading in and out. Like, it's just, they're absolutely bodying the cinematography of this shit.
That's
and it was just, that scene was dope.
Yeah, when she was in her room and everything just started disappearing.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is crack. Fucking, that was like,
because I knew it was going, you knew it was going to happen. Like, she was going to have to start selling
shit. All this shit in her room.
I swear, after the first, I was like, all this shit from the start.
That was cold, bro.
The radio, all that's gone.
He done boarded up the windows and shit.
She broke that shit. I'm just like,
it's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Damn.
And it's like you say, even beyond him being a cop, just as a father, and seeing him go through that, another way I feel like they're bodying the writing, so many households in the 80s can kind of register with that. That happened. That's a real deal thing.
Especially
that happened
in
to black people in the 80s in Compton. And you very rarely get to see that part of it touched on how it affects the family. With Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, New Jack City, you seen the fiends, but you didn't really see how it affected people around them.
Mm-hmm.
They just did a great job of doing that.
And they also do, as far as acting isn't always words. It's like,
yeah, most of them, they facial the expressions. They facial Andre's body in there with his facial expressions, man. So, did you guys didn't, we were on the verge about saying, how much time passed here? Do we know? Did they say? Did
anybody it was say? Just overnight, wasn't it?
I think that was because the stuff was disappearing, right?
Yeah, a couple of,
I think it was like probably like a week.
Yeah, it was like a period. Okay. Those were periods of time. Because then he had the pizza, he trying to eat with her and shit. And
that's
she
true.
Was running out.
Yeah,
and he nailed
weeks,
the window shit.
That's true.
So a few weeks time. Then we go to Franklin. He's still keeping tabs on Mel, right? So he gets a call when she shows up at the crackhead. Do y'all think Franklin is doing too much at this point? He need to listen
way
to Leon's advice, right?
Way too much. I think that first mission of getting Mel back to Andre should have been like,
that's it.
That's it.
I'm done.
Because like his bad, because his rationale for it was like when he was talking to Manboy, I think he was just like, hey, look, if we have a cop in our pockets, that's gonna be good for us down the line.
It. We got we got a favor.
I got a favor now.
Yeah, he just loves her. That's the thing. He loves her. And it's hard for him to come to terms with what's going on.
Yeah, so, especially because he knows he's somewhat responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
Indirectly.
I would say somewhat. He's 100%
responsible. Well, yeah. only somewhat because he didn't directly sell it to him.
We don't know where the other dude got like crack from.
He the plug.
In his words, he built this shit. The crack came from Franklin.
I was sitting here thinking, though, do you want this cop in your back pocket? I get a cop in your back pocket, but if you're Franklin, did you want this one? Do
this
you
the think best it was cop turn to have. That way? Only do I know you,
I disagree.
Yeah, he just said that to say that. He didn't. He just said that to defuse the situation.
No, I thought that was his logic.
No, he 100% wanted a favor from Andre for doing this. Like, you owe me now. Like, you can relax on all the warrants and busting into the cribs. Now, I brought your daughter back. I do think that Franklin thought that. But dealing with someone like Andre to AB's point, I don't think you don't get that from him for helping him out because he's like 100% police minded. In my opinion.
When he said that to Manboy and them, he was just saying that so they could help him. I don't think he had any.
I get that point.
I did any urge or inclination to really use Andre for anything because he know Andre is too out to get him.
True.
Mm. Well, I think he tried to, his logic made sense. You could easily get sucked into this logic, but I think we didn't realize how thorough Andre was about being a good cop.
irritating ass nigga, man.
So yeah, that's the only flaw.
God, it's too much.
You know, some niggas just be like that dedicated to their job,
cops, man. Relax,
this shit is destroying everything he knows.
Oh,
man.
Please,
you gotta look
move then, nigga.
You gotta look at it from both perspectives.
Didn't they talk about Texas? They kept talking about
like if a nigga
going to Texas.
We can get back to the thing in a minute, but if a nigga's like, bruh, you don't like what this doing in your neighborhood, you make $25,000 as a cop, here go 100 bands, move to Texas, take your daughter who's hooked on crack, and you like, yeah, that's cool, but I'm going to come back and make sure I destroy you.
Like,
damn,
for what?
You brainwashed. Like, what do you get by destroying this
and
nigga
Franklin's
at this
not
point?
Brainwashed?
I ain't saying that he's not, but we talking about Andre.
Let's look at it from both perspectives.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just
saying,
like,
is destroying his neighborhood.
He is.
Okay,
he is.
That's a fact. But if you, Andre, you tackling this, like, are you trying to fight this beast by yourself?
Because
it's
personal.
Take a way out, though.
It's personal.
Your daughter already on crack.
It's now personal.
That's why it's personal.
Yeah. That adds a new layer.
Yeah.
A very big layer.
I think it was, like, if I grew up with the child next door to me and I looked at him like, him and his daughter, they grew up together.
Yep.
And, like, me and his mom are friends. So think about that, and now he's an adult, and he's responsible single-handedly for the deterioration of everything that I've known for 20-plus years.
I've tried
it's
to protect.
Personal.
What I mean
everything
by
I try to protect. Exactly.
What I mean by brainwashed is this: if that child, that same child that I know, been next door to me all of that time, we have a conversation, and he flat out tell me, "Look, you're not gonna stop this train." Like, you know what I'm saying, my nigga? You can do whatever you want to, but you're not gonna stop this train, my nigga. And I'm gonna give you a way out because I understand how this has affected you. And you respond with, you know what? I think I can stop it. I'm going to do everything in my power to go fix everything, and then I'm going to come back and stop it. Like, my nigga, you just got to realize the facts. just count your L's and get out of it because you ain't the one that's going
to
take
it. And on top of that, and not to go too long about it, but it's just like the way he gets treated at his job, too. Like, he's the least respected person at his job. And even, like, and at the same time, he's supposed to be known as protecting and serving, but he busted in everybody's crib, fucked up his uncle. His uncle was getting pussy. That's the worst time to get somebody busted. Like,
come on,
bro. He was about to smack.
That I didn't like.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, and then he just looked at him and walked away. It was like, all right. At that point, that's when I was done with Andre.
Yeah, so like, I feel like I get what you're saying is personal. It is a fight. But if you look at the deck, it's stacked against you like Andre was. Your best bet might have been like, you don't give me a little payout, I'm out. I'm finna go with my cousin or sister down in Florida. Fuck this neighborhood. I'm just making sure me and my daughter straight. Like, I wouldn't have been mad at him for that.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was probably the best play.
Exactly. All right, so get back to it. Franklin still keeping tabs on Mel. We realize that he comes up, she fakes him out, act like she's buying into what he's saying. She kicked Franklin in the balls. Franklin like, fuck this bitch.
That was dirty.
It's a wrap. Because niggas,
in front of his
we always being no sitting here kicking the balls like it. You're pretty much done with
it. But she did it in front of
dealers
that's
supposed to respect
him. Exactly. That's really what
hurt. And it was a triple weight because it was like, these niggas is like, why is our boss keep trying to run this around junkie, for this crackhead.
This bitch to keep coming to buy dope from
them. Me. She just a crackhead. They don't know Mel for like as the girl in the neighborhood who was supposed to go off and do these great things.
Cause mm-hmm. You can't show no weakness like that because then niggas will take advantage. Niggas if they were plotting. Smart enough,
niggas start having conversations like, ah, oh, well, he
which
knows.
Yeah, which goes to that scene in episode 8, which is why he had that gathering.
Facts.
Yep.
And that's why he was like, fuck it after that.
Yeah, don't
page
me no more.
Yeah,
I'm done with this.
Don't call me no more.
And I think that kind of played into the end of the episode. Right. Or what we had to happen at the end of the episode, which we'll talk about. I think that this whole scene was kind of offspring of what happened at the end. Led to what happened at the end.
All right.
I want to hear your theory on that.
Yeah, I have another opinion we'll get about to that.
Okay. All right, so we go to another scene. Teddy's basically confirming to Jules, like, you can't stop this game. I'm in it for life. I'm 10 toes down. I don't even understand why you're trying to get me out of it, which he should have told her, I feel like, early in the beginning of the episode. At the end of episode 7. So he tells her that she takes matters into her own hands. She go to Andre's house. She gives Andre an address. What did y'all think was going on at this point?
I thought it was interesting that she gave a fake name too.
Oh, yes. No, I mean, I knew that was
CIA. Yeah. That's CIA.
Oh, okay, so, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
She 100%. Right.
I'm glad y'all police ass niggas know that.
You know who to avoid. That's 100%.
You will be in the back of the car.
CIA are not the police.
We'll be coming to bail you out.
CIA are not the police, nigga. Nick.
What I thought about that scene was just more of like, she really loves Teddy.
Yeah, she does.
She loved the fuck out of Teddy, and she's willing to hurt Teddy to prove that she loves him. Because she knows how much this mission means to him. She knows how much he's laid on the line for this mission. Yet at the end of the day, she still wants to be with him and raise their son together. So I'm gonna sabotage this nigga behind his back.
Yeah, she presenting Teddy with the same scenario that Andre's being presented with by Franklin. You can get the fuck out. All strings detached.
You have an out.
About what
I don't think Andre.
She's giving him an out.
I don't think Andre.
Andre didn't want an out.
Franklin to be out. I think
Andre
wanted.
Franklin was presenting Andre with saying, "Hey, take this money, take Mel, get the fuck out of here." She's doing the same thing for Teddy, and it's interesting that neither one of them want out. As far as being on that side of the law, both
Teddy,
of them are
kind Teddy
of
said he need one more year to wrap this up.
Yeah, Teddy needed a whole other year to wrap this up. Meanwhile, the Contras are done fighting. They ain't no war in Venezuela. Now, I'm being hypothetical. I don't think that. I don't know for a
Not
fact.
Not this particular
that,
time.
Yeah, but everything had died down, which he was originally even fighting for, and she was trying to relay that to him. That basically, fam, you just out here selling dope. You know what I'm saying? And he still ain't getting that. He still think that
the government's still collecting the bread.
Right. But they're using that bread, though.
Because which episode was Reagan on?
That was... That was like 4 or 5, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 4 or 5 when it was on the TV.
Yeah.
All right, so
still around that time.
Right, so she leaves, drops off the address. We don't know what's going on. She did use a fake name. What did y'all think about the address? Any other thoughts? Yeah, I didn't think that was going anywhere. Y'all think
we didn't know it was an address, did we? Or did
we thought it was just a name. She said it was a name on here. She said you could use this. So did y'all have any thoughts to what it was?
Did she give him Franklin's address?
Yeah, we later came and found out that it was Franklin's address.
Yeah, I didn't know who it was too, but I knew it was something like when she's going to Andre, she's clearly trying to go after Franklin somehow.
I thought that directly. She was giving him some information about their murder.
I thought she was giving them Jamie Jerome's address, and that's where all the dope. I don't know what they know because it's CIA. Because remember the dude said like, bro, if the CIA on your ass, they can get you. You won't know where they're coming from.
But I just knew it was about Franklin the whole time.
Yeah.
Because she found out. I mean, that's what she kept talking in the other meetings about.
Funny how she's trying to paint Franklin as the villain here. Typical. Like,
no, I think that was the one that you saw.
Because
she ended up giving everybody up.
She did, but she went to Andre like Franklin's the monster.
Because she knew that was struck a chord with Andre. Facts. Struck a chord with Andre.
How did she?
Yeah,
know
she wouldn't care. He wouldn't give a shit about
the because he was on the report.
He was on the report.
She knows he's been with him. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
She kind of threw Franklin under the bus still. But so Teddy pulls up on Rigo. Rigo, he is the connect from Columbia that wants a nightclub and loves to party. Rigo got everything plasticked off. the goons are there. If we've seen any gangster movie, we know what Teddy's getting into here. And Teddy's kind of looking around like, what the fuck y'all got going on? Rigo begins to tell Teddy that he has a mole at the DEA. And this mole told him that he's going to be busted. And reason being that DEA agent that our boy Oso shot earlier in the season has came back. Her boss gave the information to the mole in the DEA, and they're about to hit with warrants. All this being said, this makes Rego think that Teddy has snitched on him.
Yep.
Rego is about to kill Teddy, and Teddy pulls the infamous, always big joker, the spade card. I'm CIA. I can get you out of this. Don't worry about a thing. So he explains it to him. Everything goes over smooth. What did y'all think about that? Has Teddy pulled this card one too many times? Are people believable to CIA shit? They that powerful? What do y'all think?
I mean, Rego bought it, didn't he? I mean, Rego bought it.
Everyone has bought it so
far. I mean, that's
far.
A card he has. He has to play it.
He's a white man, so you got to give him off the strain. And that's the thing about Teddy's character. Like, I feel like every show has a character who just lives off white privilege. Like, what other nigga would you know?
Yep.
Well, accused with those crimes with a drug dealer to be like, all right, bro, I'm the CIA, bro. You ain't got to worry about none of this shit. And leave with no scathe, no punches, no nothing.
And like, he's done that a few times.
Yeah.
And I think it goes a testament to criminals abroad know that the biggest gangsters in the world is the American government.
Right.
Yep. Because all of them be like, oh, you working with the government in America? And they said it's cool? Oh, that's right. So I think that's a funny little trick that they play when all the gangsters get to a point with Teddy where they feel like they're going to knock him off. He always uses, oh, well, I'm CIA, and they buy it because they want to be in with the CIA.
They want to be connected
as well. So yep. That's a dope little thing that they do.
Quote of that, the best quote of that scene was Rego saying, if you're the CIA, why the fuck are you bringing cocaine into America?
Yeah. And that's what everybody was questioning when they found out about this in real life.
Exactly.
Did this happen before Andre went to the house or after? I feel like that scene was...
You said this happened before what?
After Andre went to Franklin's house.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going to get to Andre.
Oh, okay.
I was just a little bit off.
And then what else did Rego say? He was like, it's crazy, like, y'all call me the criminals.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a lot of... He had a lot of bars when they was talking.
But it was like, how you get morality from a drug dealer?
Yeah, he was barring him the fuck.
That's the
thing. Exactly. So, just wanted to hit that scene out of the way because I knew we wouldn't stay there long. We're going to get now. We're going to get now. To,
he said, let me host.
Nice cover up.
Let me host.
But Andres and Frank breaks into Franklin's house, cuts wire, all of this shit, looks around, finds some shit.
Franklin crib nice too.
Franklin had the nice crib.
Real low
shoes
key.
Everywhere. Real dope boy shit back in the
Lacoste shirts.
He had like a Tony Stark ass house.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that shit was kind of weird.
Endgame.
Dope ass safe and shit. So, listen, Andre goes in there, breaks in. He's in too deep at this point, just trying to make sure that Franklin is the villain. And he goes in there, finds some shit that he definitely ain't looking for when he finds the Teddy stuff.
What did you think he went in there looking for? The pistol?
Yeah, he was looking for his gun. Gotcha. I think that he was looking for the evidence.
I think he was looking for anything. Could stick him with. He was either looking for his gun, badge, or coke, like mountains of coke.
I feel like that if he finds dope in there, then, I mean, you broke into his house. So they're not going to, there's no case there. The only thing that he's looking for is to justify, I was set up by Franklin for the gun shit. Now that y'all see that I'm not crazy, let's go back and revisit this murder shit that I was talking about.
But
so I think that's why he was so frantic, because he was trying to find his gun, and that leads to him not being crazy about the rest of this shit and kind of getting his reputation back.
But even if he did find his gun in Bass, couldn't they just say, like, you broke into his house to plant that?
Yeah, but you know, police.
Everybody knows he got a vendetta against him.
Yeah, and I feel like they would call that good policing because you went on a hunch. Well, I know he did me wrong. I went on a hunch. I found my stuff in his house. As opposed to, oh, he sells dope. Yeah, everybody knows he sells dope. So you broke into his house to find the dope to get him for selling dope because you couldn't do police work to get him. That makes sense?
Yeah, I get you.
So I feel like that's why he was so frantic and looking for that gun, because he would have got way more credibility for finding it there and then being proven right in all his theories. What do y'all got?
Andre was also kind of seeing the big picture, though. Once he did see those photos, he was like, wait a minute, the government bringing this shit? Like, it was kind of, he's kind of piecing it together.
He switched his thoughts on Franklin, I feel like.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, oh,
yeah, because he saw a bigger fish.
Too. Yeah.
Because he's a cop at the end of the day. Like, like they always go for the big fish. Like, he thought Frank was just the big fish. Then he realized the government is involved and there's all this.
Bigger than him.
Yeah. And he also knew once he found out that, and he met with his partner, that they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop what they thought they could.
We know his partner. Like, his partner clearly gives off piece of shit vibes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. He did that off rip, though, when he said, like, you're one of the good ones, Andre.
Yeah,
off the top.
Bro, what are they?
But what did y'all think about when Andre saw that cash? Y'all think he was going to take any of that?
No, I knew he wasn't there
for that. He's not in it for that.
Yeah, and they've done a great job of laying the groundwork to show us that Andre wouldn't have did that.
Because that would have been
it'd have been out of character 1 million.
But he was like.
Because Franklin has offered him money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can make this stop, bro. If, like, you want it to be good, you can just live next door to me and go to work every day, and you can bring home, like, an extra $70,000, $80,000 a year. Franklin has made the proposal to him, but he ain't in it for that.
Yeah, and but Andre also was like astonished at the amount of cash.
Absolutely. Yeah, he did.
You can see his face.
Yeah, he didn't know it was coming like that.
He was like, good grief.
It should have changed his mind if he was
Scrooge
smart.
McDuck.
Boy, I would have took a nice little book bag.
Right. Listen to him.
Like, look, after all the bullshit he done.
I know what you got going on, Franklin. I want to reconsider.
Look, Franklin not going to snitch on you.
Look, just get my daughter off crack. Just take her to a rehab. You know what I'm saying?
All of that.
But you know what's crazy, though, back then? I don't think it was like no Betty Ford or nothing like this was new.
Yeah, this was new.
Like,
yeah,
people didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it wasn't no wasn't no way you're going to get treated for being cooked on dope then, except for jail. You was going to jail.
Right.
That's it.
So it was a new epidemic.
Yeah. All right, so Franklin leaves with Rigo. Andre breaks in the Franklin house. Teddy realizes now what's going on as far as if Rigo had this information from the DEA, it means Franklin's in trouble. That means Ocho's in trouble.
Yeah,
that means Avi is in trouble. Yeah. I mean, he need to tell them to get out of town. I feel like that was a dope-ass scene with him using the payphones, waiting on the calls. Franklin calls delayed because Franklin at that point thought the Reed broke in his house.
Yep.
So that was a fire way to put all of that together and wrap it up, because I was trying to figure out how they were going to, you know, have Franklin react to Andre breaking in his house, but to flip it and have them think, well, have Franklin think that it was Reed and some CIA shit was really fire in that scene.
Because he realized his whole shit was blown.
Yeah. And that was fire.
Especially with Avi.
And then you remember earlier in the episode, Reed was kind of going through it with his ex, and he was talking to Franklin about that. So I thought that may have been like a seed to kind of gain his trust back. Because I feel like they both think each other is bullshitting to a certain extent, and they keep playing games to try to gain the trust of the other. And I think that was a play.
Yeah, and I think I was listening to y'all previous episodes about, like, y'all question why Reed got or Teddy got so pissed off at Franklin when Frank asked about, like, oh, can't you get this shit, like, you above that? I think it was because Reed knows that, like, I don't, like, anybody who knows about me has leverage over me. So I got to keep pushing you back, because if you get too close and realize what I really am, what I'm really capable of, then you'll just end up using me.
Yep.
Then you'll have something over me. But now that, as you can see, the relationship, they open up to each other more and more because they keep on getting into it deeper and deeper. So now they just have, like, shit, we on the same road
right
now.
You're trying to tell Franklin about love and all of this.
Yeah,
shit.
It's like,
yeah,
shit.
That's fine.
It's crazy because that's his closest relationship he got right now. Franklin might be his best friend.
Really the only two that could trust each other. And there was a great scene that they had, I think it was in 9, though, when they were talking about, he was like, you're going to be alone out here. Like, it's just you. You feel like it's just you.
Yeah.
Right? That shit was fire when he was telling Franklin.
Yeah.
That.
I like when he called Avi. Avi said, my bag's always packed.
Avi is the ultimate G. Avi made a couple of little yells out in, what is he, Arabian? What is he? What's his nationality?
I think he's Jewish. They keep on saying he's just Jewish.
Iranian. He's Iranian.
Iranian,
he's talking about the Iranian government. He talks about Iranian. The Iranian government. He made some little slang yells out in Iranian, and niggas was ready to go. Who do y'all think? Was that the CIA that shot his mans?
Nah.
No, his rival. Yeah. He said in the episode, a later episode, I think he said it was a rival, a gun deal going bad or something.
Yeah, he was saying rival. He made a mistake, and he sold something to somebody that wasn't supposed to have it.
Yeah, some guns.
And that led to something worse.
Gotcha.
And now these niggas coming at him, and because he got outed, now they know
they know where he was.
Okay, so they had been looking for him, but they didn't know where he was. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I, if you look at Avi has slowly but surely deteriorated.
Oh man.
As the guy who was the top dude at one point. Like, you look at him now, most of his scenes, it's like really dry, gray, like stressed. Like, this is what it does to you. And that's what he was telling Frank.
They've done a great job of showing that, too, without him having a lot of screen time.
Yes.
Like, everything that he's done has been a stressful situation, from trying to get the money from Franklin to this. Every time we see him, it's like, damn, fam, what's wrong? Are you good?
Because you remember earlier in the series, he would always be around the sun.
Yeah.
He'll be happy drinking bullshit.
Shooting watermelons and shit in the backyard with AKs. So, yeah.
Watermelon. Oh yeah, that's right. They were target practice.
Yeah. I just threw the watermelons in there.
Yeah. He left the Louis bags and everything when he pulled off though, nigga.
He was out of there, nigga. Shit. So Ocho really didn't have much to move around. So he just like, okay, we land low now. Gotcha. I'm already in Mexico digging tunnels, so this really doesn't affect me.
Right.
And then, you know,
Franklin, he already off the grid.
Right. Franklin gets the call. He thinks that Reed robbed him and robbed his house or whatever. He go grab his He go to his house. He does realize that Andre's broke in there. He thinks it's Reed. He realized that the pictures are gone.
Y'all think he put that together too quick?
That was my next question. Was it far-fetched for Franklin to point out Andre correctly for this?
No, I don't think so. Who else would it be?
I mean, because you got to think. Reed.
Well, he's always Reed at first.
But why would Reed? That's what he was thinking. Like, why would Reed call me to warn me?
Yeah,
that something went down.
House. Once he realized he Reed didn't do it, it's only the other one person because they didn't steal anything of value.
The money was there. Remember, you know, Andre was the only nigga that probably would have came and not stole no money.
Exactly. And you remember his aunt always been saying, we got to take care of Andre. Like, Andre is going to be a problem. Like, we have
but
to
even they thought it wasn't him. Remember, they were trying to convince him that it wasn't him.
But the whole thing is, when he found out it wasn't Reed, it's only one person he thought about.
Yeah.
So I think it was far-fetched.
Okay.
Which leads us to the last scene.
Yeah. Ooh. And, well, first, Teddy confronts Jules about snitching and running the block hard. She don't give a fuck because she's a woman in love and she wants Teddy to run off.
Teddy been giving her that granddaddy.
Yeah, man. Teddy
old school.
You know
Nick,
where he
boy.
Fucked up at? When he beat her in the nightclub. When like he was in the nightclub and he smashed.
Yeah,
that's
where
he smashed on that Riverfall. She been having a lot of romantic
the
ass
the nightclub
sex
smashing is the one where he hit the bottom and she was like, oh, we got to leave together. He wasn't ready for that.
That did it right there.
Yeah, she wasn't ready for that. She's trying to leave with him after that. So Teddy should have held back some. But he confronted her about snitching. He's furious, tells her to get out of here. We knew Teddy was going to do this, right? Like, we knew that he was 10 toes down. He ain't trying to go nowhere. He was going to be pissed at her.
Yeah, it was a nice try.
I knew what I expected. Like, he's going to be a piece of shit. But at the same time, the way he conveyed it, it was like, if there was anything that I did love in this world, it was you.
Mm.
And now that you've done this to me, I take it as what face value what it is. It's a betrayal.
Yep.
You know, because you knew how much this meant to me. You know how much it meant for my career. Because remember in the beginning of the series, he's talking to the CIA dude like, look, I want to be back in the game. I want to be in the trenches. I want to help my country. I asked for this shit. So you're going to betray me on some shit that I asked? It's like when your girl fucks up your opportunity to get a good job.
Like, this is my career. Like, this is my, for the benefit of
it's like, at that point, it's like, fuck you. Like, you just ruined my life.
That makes sense. That makes 100% sense.
And I could have died off that shit too.
That too.
Yeah, most importantly, you didn't even think about how serious it was for you to be like doing this just for me to leave with you. Because like niggas damn near could have died, going to jail. Like,
never heard me again.
People. It's some serious people out here that you done fucked over. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think she took that into consideration. So he definitely had right to be pissed about that. All right, final scene. Dope turn here. We figure out what's going on. Franklin confronts Andre about the stolen docs. Andre wonder how he gets in. We see in the scene before, Andre tells his white partner about Franklin, what he's doing with the CIA. Andre plans to be the first whistleblower of the crack era. Y'all with him or not?
You think he was going to do that?
I do. I do think that he thought that he was going to go take those files and people were going to be like, oh shit, Andre, great job. And now we're going to tackle the CIA. And his partner, rightfully so, knows it's not going to work like that.
Yeah.
Because his partner's a white man. He knows, like, bro, yeah, I know how white people like think. And this shit is.
Yeah, and he kind of explains
you're
going to
step
like,
on the wrong toes.
Right,
bro.
This is bigger than us. Like,
yeah,
you
it's bigger
think
than
about
Nino Brown.
You have to do.
It's bigger than Nino Brown, fam.
And then when. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Oh, and then when Franklin. Oh, we're talking about the last scene, right?
Yeah, we're going to the last scene. Franklin's talking to Andre.
Yeah,
Andre's trying to convince Franklin that what he. Like, you are a pawn. Actually, I had this wrong. I thought you were the monster, but you're being used. You should let me, you know, do what I need to do to ensure that, you know, this all of this shit stops. Because at one point in time, or at some point in time, excuse me, these people that are using you, Franklin, they're not going to need you no more. And then what's going to happen to you?
His daddy said the
which
same thing.
Right
and everybody's telling Franklin this. And at some point, it has to register, right? We think. Because Franklin's smart.
We think he is,
or he's so bogged down into, you know, what it is that he does as far as his business that he's not listening and think he's smarter than everybody.
No, I think he knows it's on the horizon. He's just not thinking about it right now.
Okay.
He's trying to deal with the problems he has right now.
But that's what mostly gets most drug dealers. Like, they never think today is the day.
Well,
you
I
know,
mean,
like,
he got, but the thing fact. Is, the thing is right now is more pressing because everything that's going on with Reed and all that. So when he came over to the house, he just wanted to give Andre one last. You can hear the desperation in Franklin's voice. Like, he's like, please just leave. Because he knew that if he didn't leave, he's going to have to get rid of him.
And Andre gave him the worst answer. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to leave.
I'll leave. And I'll come right back. And I'll start fighting crime again. Like, nigga, get the fuck out
even,
of here.
Even with all that, I still didn't see him shooting him, though.
That's
a good point.
I knew he was going to die as soon
when
as Franklin walked in the room.
Really?
I'm going to tell you, when I thought something was going to happen, we said, you're not a murderer. You might as well put the gun down. I didn't know if Franklin had somebody waiting in the trenches, which I thought
was
going to
be the trigger man at all.
But I knew it had to be Franklin because, like, later on they explained, like, who else could get that close to him? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I knew he was going to die as soon as he walked in the ruins because, to me, it's just like, how many conversations do you have to have with a nigga to know you at odds?
Right.
You know, to pull out a T.I. Like, we at
odds. How many times we going to do this?
How many times we going to do this before one of us got to get
died? Was, though, and I think that's why Franklin made him the offer. Like, look, bro, like, I'm really, especially now since you got these CIA pictures, I ain't trying to have this conversation ever again. Right? So, like, you can take this money and you can go to Florida or Texas or wherever your sister is. Just don't come back and forget that you knew this. And Andre, like I say, being Captain America ass nigga, like, is, oh, well, no, I can't do that because I signed an oath to fight. Like, nah, bro. Like, he's giving you your out. And you're not taking
like
it.
You playing by the rules that nobody else cares about.
Yeah, you playing a game all by yourself. You the only nigga playing by the rules. And that came back to bite him. And I think when Franklin said, you're right, I'm not no killer, and then they switched in and killed, that was fire at one point, because I didn't think, like I said, it would be Franklin. I thought, like, Leon would come in, or Fat Dude would come in and maybe shoot him. They had him at the front door.
Because as you can see, they've been building for Franklin to be the guy.
Yeah,
well,
that's
just
after,
like,
the point.
Just like Breaking Bad, you know, his whole, everything is changing from Franklin.
He's
from the first
bad.
Episode of season one to now, you can see the transformation in who he is as a person, how his conscience. Yeah, he really doesn't have one now. And how he did at the beginning, he did. But now he doesn't. And it's like, in order to protect myself and my family, I'm willing to do anything, regardless if it includes hurting others.
I'm so used to dream sequences and shit. I thought it was a dream. I thought he missed. I'm dead ass. I was like, nah.
What if he did miss, though?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, nah, fuck out of here. Ain't no way this just happened.
It was very surprising. Like, I didn't think we was going to see Andre go out like that. I thought he was.
It had to be like that.
I thought they were actually building Andre up to be a bigger villain as far as Franklin's nemesis. Like, on the other side of Franklin, I thought he was going to have the CIA information to be able to manipulate it at some point to do something different. I ain't seen him with a bullet in his head at that end scene, though.
Yeah, I knew it was going to, because I knew it had to happen. Because, like, Andre knew everything. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, anytime someone knows everything and y'all on the opposite side of the main character, something has to happen for that character either to be discredited or to die.
Even more so, I feel like that he was doing this to protect Reed. He felt like that he did this to protect Reed.
No. I don't think he was thinking about Reed at all.
I think he did protect himself.
I think that he knows that
he didn't give a shit about Reed.
I feel like that he did this to protect Reed, and it's just based off some conversations that they had, and he knows if he takes this out, Reed gonna take an L.
Nah, Andre can't do nothing to Reed. Listen, man, Franklin did this thinking about Franklin only and his family. He knew that Andre would be the downfall. That's only he went in there strategically.
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
That's why I just leave. He was only thinking about himself. And that's the same thing what I said about him starting off with the conscience, with everything from how it used to be to the situation with Mel, to now he doesn't have one because he knows he has to look out for himself.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, like I say, dope scene, dope episode, fantastic. Next episode 9 is Blackout. We joined in this episode. Franklin is out in the valley, and he's trying to create an alibi with his white homeboy, Rob. Rob is reciting everything word for word that Franklin has told him to say. Sound believable to you guys as far as what's going on here?
Yep.
Yeah, sounds legit. Alibi, yeah.
That's why he kept the white boy around so long, because he knew he was going to need him.
He knew he needed an alibi.
Franklin's smart for not telling anybody what happened.
Oh, very smart.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
They always say if you're going to kill somebody, just keep it to yourself.
One of the smartest things he's done.
What Trent say? Do my dirt by my lonesome.
Yep. One of the smartest things he's did, and he's done a lot of smart things, but one of the smartest things he's did, not letting anyone in on this, because you never know who can hold water and who can't. So that was really dope there. Franklin goes to his mom's house. He tries to practice the alibi, in my opinion. Runs it off his dad, runs it off his mom. You know, this has happened, and you know, I don't know this or that. He killed himself, and he shoots out all this shit, but he's nervous. He's antsy. It's not the normal, cool, calm, collected Franklin that we see. His dad picks up on this immediately. Yeah. The whole time his daddy looking at him like, you killed this nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His mama really don't know she's trying to give her baby a benefit.
No, his mom was trying to deny
she's
that.
Yeah, she just wants to say, okay. She's more so, she ain't leaning with the yes.
Yeah, she's in denial.
She
because
dad,
if you have good parents, they're able to read you.
Yeah. They know
regardless.
you off a little bit.
Yeah. She's a hella denial, like the river.
And I think it starts to. And
she's swimming.
This goes to a perfect alley-oop from the scene where she asked about Mel, and he said she smoked rock now. And she slowly started to realize, as we said earlier in this session, she slowly started to realize the effects of this life. Like, my baby just killed a cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like,
not a cop,
the one next door that grew up to us, and he's lying to me about it. It's like trying to act like, oh, there's no big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's finally starting to hit her, and the dad had a, this nigga got fantastic lines in this motherfucker. But the dad tells her, like, you really have to start understanding what this is we doing. Like, come to an acceptance with this lifestyle if you're going to be in it.
Yeah.
And I think
that
was dope right there, I think. Y'all got any feedback from that?
You got to accept the good with the bad in it, man. Shout out to Calvin from Paid in Full. He's doing a good job.
Body in this.
I find him
the frog looking motherfucker killing this shit.
He's one of the most interesting characters in here that don't get that much screen time.
Agreed.
Like you said with Avi, it's just like, with him, it's just like, with him, with his past being a Panther, and like with the things he's had to do and the people he's had to kill, which we find out, it's like, I understand my son. I understand what he's going through, and I'm never going to lie to myself, because once I lie to myself, that's when I will become like a shell of myself.
Right.
Because you can see this happening to Franklin.
That's a fact.
Absolutely. Real quick on that intro, too, they show Mel flipping out, seeing that her dad, you know, they staged it as a suicide. Seeing her flip out during that montage, there was no music played, no throwbacks during that scene. I thought that was a nice touch, because you know how they normally get down.
Yeah, an interesting twist. That is true. All right, so Franklin tries to run the same alibi by the crew. Do y'all think that they were as suspecting as the parents?
I think his uncle knew something.
Jerome know what's going down. I think Auntie might know too. Leon not suspecting.
Leon didn't think Franklin.
Like we were saying earlier, Franklin look at Leon a certain type of way. Leon also look at Franklin a certain type of way. Like, you ain't the nigga that's going to kill a cop.
Because Leon seen him. He's seen him. He's been in so many situations where he's seen Franklin get shook up when it come to killing people. Like, and if out of everybody, you killing Andre? Nah, I don't believe
it. Fantastic. Reversal of that, of how it went, as far as what y'all said and how he looked at him and how they look at each other. All right, so nobody, I think the crew bought it. We get to a point where Mel notices the window. Is this before she has a conversation with Officer Nixon, right? So she notices that the window's been manipulated.
No, it's after. It's after the conversation. Yeah, this is towards the end.
Okay, gotcha. So she had a conversation with Officer Nixon, though, and she told him what? That she thinks that Franklin was trying, well, she thinks Franklin did it.
She said, I know Franklin did,
right? And he kind of takes it in and like, okay, yeah, whatever. And he thinks it makes sense, because he know how hard Andre was going on Franklin. Am I off there? Do y'all think it made sense as well? Or what did y'all get from
it? Well, it didn't make sense to me. It was a little black kid that answered the door. I was like, what the hell is going on? She had the wrong house? And she was like, did you have two before? He was like, nah, just one. We just adopted him. So it was like, that changed my
perspective
on him, because it's like, at first you think he's just another racist piece of shit cop, but then it's like,
makes it even
but
worse.
It's like,
he just hired him a little black baby. Yeah.
He got a little Webster running around.
He
and
got
shit.
A little butler in the house, man. Nigga ain't shit.
But I think as far as what she was bringing to him, like, you could tell, like, because I know you were close to my dad, like, you're the next person that I can
you
trust with this information, and you're a cop too.
Yeah,
I like the pacing of this too. I think that I didn't see Mel. Him jumping through the window, coming back to haunt him.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, and I thought they paced it well enough to where that came quick enough to where it still made sense, and it wasn't a stretch that she put that together. But it took also, you know what I'm saying, long enough to where I still didn't even put two and two together. It's kind of just, it's flowing in a good pace, in my opinion.
It was a good flow, and Andre brought it up as to where they would lead a breadcrumb there. Andre asked Franklin how he got in. He said, how'd you get in?
He said, they definitely foreshadowed how I always been getting in
since I was 7 years old.
That was,
you know,
hard.
What I'm saying? And then Mel being,
that's a big fuck you too. Like, damn, you been fucking my daughter.
Yeah, like, you sneaking in my house all this time.
You gonna kill me after you told me you fucked my chick. All right, come on.
And, but yeah, that definitely is a big a prelude to that happening. Officer Nixon, then skipping forward a little bit, pulls over Franklin, and he hops in the back seat, has a conversation with Franklin. Franklin is brought to tears. Do you guys think that was out of fear, thinking Nixon was going to do something, or had he just come to a point where emotionally this was like beginning to be too much, and
both.
he wanted him to do something.
Yeah. I think it was fear.
I think it was fear and a combination of like, because he's been unraveling this whole episode, so it was just like, bro, like it's finally hitting. Like, this is where the buck stops. Like, this is how I'm gonna go out.
He had an anxiety attack earlier in the episode. He's got, the walls are closing in. He's juggling about. He's putting out about 5 fires at once. So you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, it's been like super hot. Did y'all peep like the little heat wave they had going on?
That was my next thing I was going to get to. Like, why the fuck is it so hot? Like,
it's Cali.
Sweaty and nasty looking.
Yeah.
Dude, everybody got,
he got the big dog sweat.
Blackouts were real back in the day.
I thought that was an interesting.
I think that aids to his pressure, though.
On episode. It's hot in the streets.
Exactly.
Tempers are short when it's hot outside.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And his frustration, from he just had a lot of frustration, and even before that, with the scene with when he had to put out the fire with Leon and Mabel.
Well, I was gonna get to that. Hold on, I was just gonna get to that because I know we want to talk a lot about how great the acting was there. Before we get there, I want to touch here and just see: do you guys think it was far fetched of this guy taking the deal? Because it seemed like him and Andre and his partner were very close, and this. He would have had almost the same thought process as Andre.
No, he was a
snake
people.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought he was a piece of shit before. This just confirmed it. And it also made me think about another TV show I watched. It's called Barry. Yeah. And it's like this similar situation. It reminded me of that situation where the cop, it was a similar situation, a cop dying and other cop trying to help him find who the killer is. But it turns completely different when they... things unravel. Man, so
that Barry episode with the little girl and the fucking taekwondo dude.
Yeah, that shit was trash.
Oh, that was so goddamn.
That shit was
funny. Jesus. All right, but getting back to this. So Officer Nixon makes an offer makes Franklin an offer he damn near can't refuse. Him and Franklin start to do business. He reminds Franklin that you work for me. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to get there first to get that out of the way. Speaking of people working for people, Leon's employees, quote unquote, are having an issue. Franklin's employees are having an issue. Speaking of Leon and Man Boy, Leon, for some strange, odd-ass reason, is trying to take over Man Boy's corners. And Man Boy don't like this shit, but he's showing respect by even having a conversation with Franklin before he does anything. Does this continue down the path of Man Boy being a good character that you said, Nick, earlier, as far as where they're painting him and what do you see from this? Because Franklin essentially sunned him and was like, well, I'm going to keep letting him do this. Because he don't know that Franklin had a conversation with Leon. So Man Boy's looking at it from the sense of this nigga took their side. Do I need to go to war with these niggas that I already slick don't like anyway? They just got to work.
But he the plug though.
They just got to work.
Cause that's what Franklin said. Like, nigga, who else you gonna he buy like, your dope? If you wanna get else? Your yeah, go ahead, do
who
it.
Who else
then.
Gonna give it to you that?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think Man Boy, he's still playing his position. So he's not gonna act irrational with anything.
Yeah, he doesn't come off as that type of.
Yeah, so he's not gonna be like, oh fuck that, we're going to war. It's not him. And he's calculated.
It's interesting too, I think, that they show how Man Boy handled the situation with the guy that was fighting Leon, right? Mm-hmm. His boy that was working on the corner, Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin handled the situation the same way.
Yep.
Nah. The exact same way when it was Leon and Man Boy. Yeah. You know
but for Man Boy, he doesn't know that.
He don't know that. Exactly.
But and that's a good point to bring up because like he's like, nigga, I went to bat for you with my crew.
Right.
You can't do the same for me with yours.
With this nigga standing here.
Yeah, but Franklin never going to go against a family in front of outsiders.
No more. Yeah. So, he ain't going
to
do that.
So that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. So he had to scold him. Behind closed doors, you know.
But to be fair, too.
Fire ass scene.
Fire ass scene. But to be fair, I don't think Man Boy has a certain level of respect for Leon because when he did call for this meeting, he wanted Franklin there alone.
Yeah.
He didn't want to have to be the nigga pointing from Leon in his face, being like, this nigga bullshitting this and that. He really wanted to have a conversation as bosses, being like, look, yo people doing this. What we going to do about this? And Franklin kind of sunned him like, nah, we're not bosses. I'm the boss. You know what I'm saying? So that was a pretty cool thing I think he did right there.
The scene was fucking amazing.
The scene
though.
Was fucking fire.
Fire,
and then they go
bro.
To the scene in the car where it's hot as fuck as y'all stay, and Franklin tells Leon to pull over. And he
I thought he was going to beat his ass.
Man, I didn't know what he was going to do, honestly.
I thought Leon could take him.
That's what I'm thinking. Leon could beat him up.
You know, American Gangster when Denzel hit the man in the face in the car while he was driving? I thought he was about to do that.
I thought you were talking about the piano scene where you.
When he was in the car, he was like, boom, boom. He just punched him.
But what he did do in the conversation that he had telling Leon, like, I got to clean up your shit just because you mad of how a nigga's talking to you.
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than how a nigga talking to you with what we doing. And I feel like he did a great fucking job of relaying that.
And I think that was the first time he could really get some frustrations out. Because it's like Leon is his boy.
Yeah,
But he still was talking to him like an employee, though.
Yeah, I can still say we can still be solid. Yes, 100%.
I built this shit and brick by brick.
The drive motherfucker at the end was so cold.
So because you don't like the way a nigga talk.
Yeah. Man, listen, they fucking.
He said you gonna stay off his corners. You gonna stop fucking these bitches. You gonna leave that nigga alone.
And that quiet. Was
drive, motherfucker.
It showed to how
because he was just sitting there.
Man, he was just sitting there too. Like we just gonna sit here, bro.
It's hot in the motherfucker.
Yeah, like come on, nigga, dry this shit, nigga. But it shows to how strong did Franklin's becoming in his role. And how much Leon respects it. Because Leon could have bickered back and forth with him and kept going, but he's seen clearly this nigga ain't for this shit today. So I think that, that
you
was dope.
Because you know Leon knew he was in the wrong. He was like, man, you know, my bad. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you sticking up for me and all that shit. Frank, like, nigga, don't
nigga,
think
I,
this
yeah,
is
I ain't
cute.
Sticking up for
yeah,
you.
No,
nigga,
this ain't
nigga,
cute.
This bullshit.
This ain't
I'm doing
plug.
This because I got to.
Exactly. So they take a little tension off. We go over to Ocho, who God knows what he got going on. They've been alluding
what
to
the
something.
Hell is Ocho?
The wrestler.
You talking about Gustavo?
Yes, yeah, wrestler.
Oso.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
So I'm calling him Ocho. I'm calling him Chad Johnson. Jesus we go Christ. To Oso, and this nigga building a tunnel in his backyard about to come
he
in
got
El Chapo.
Shit moving down
he ready.
He,
like,
he ready. Shaking.
All this other shit y'all got going yeah. on, the little street wars, bro. Man. Like, fuck that. This is where we ain't got to go through nobody. Yeah. I'm the plug. We got a house on each side.
Man,
they revealing yeah. the plans of what he had in motion.
I fuck
Teddy
with Oso heavy, man.
Finally gets to take a relief aside, get to have a beer, and we see Teddy smile for the first time, I feel like, this season.
Yeah.
So what did y'all take from that?
Take that Trump wall. We're gonna build under that shit. Right.
And this happened in real life. They were doing these tunnels in real life. Mm. So that's why I love the show. It's so authentic.
Yeah. And I didn't know what he was doing while he because
yeah,
he
so they
it was,
built under, yeah they yeah. build all these tunnels. I mean, it happens far as up to this modern time with El Chapo. They had all these secret tunnels where they would transport people over the border and drugs over the border to get through, and they would dig for a month. Months, all years, right. years.
Clearly.
So we y'all been rocking with us for a minute. We're about to wrap this up. I do think that that was from Oso going to play a bigger part in season four, and I think it goes to what happened at the end of this. If it actually did happen, we have another main character to focus on now. Someone who's built a tunnel, got people on both sides. They got the wheelchair dude to kind of be there. There's a whole like. Bevy of people that we're going to move to if what happened to Franklin actually happened. So it ain't just like the main character got killed. So I say all that to say we go to the repass. Do y'all call it repass this way, y'all? I ain't never called
yeah,
it a repass.
They call it a repass.
Never heard that. But they go to the repass. Franklin notices that Mel is there, distraught. She leaves. Franklin follows her over to her house because she ain't trying to deal with all the bullshit that's going on. As Franklin follows her to her house, he thinks that she's trying to get high, tell her she don't need that shit. She disappears into a back room. She comes out with the strap. He said, well, one, he called her baby, which was odd. I've never heard him call a baby prior to that. Said, baby, you don't need that shit. Secondly, she disappeared, comes back with the strap. She shoots Franklin once in the shoulder. Not sure if the bullet didn't go through or if I'm just paying too much attention, but there was no blood on the wall. When she did shoot him in the shoulder, he fell up against the wall. There was no blood back up behind him.
That means it's stuck in there.
Or maybe it's stuck, yeah. True. But then he falls, asks her what she's doing. She shoots him a couple of more times. It goes off as she walks out. Where were you guys when you realized that she had shot Franklin with it? A dream? Or this is reality? What did you guys think?
I thought this was real.
You thought this was real?
I knew it was real, yeah.
So yeah, I don't think he's dead, though.
I thought it was real. He's definitely not dead.
Clearly
everybody
not
thinks
dead.
Cause she could have shot him in the head if she wanted to kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
She was gone. Like when she sat in the repass and she saw people talking to Franklin. And what really did it was when she saw Franklin talking
to the white cop.
Her dad's partner.
Right.
And that's when she knew that nobody
the
gives
fix
a fuck.
Was in.
Yeah, she said, nobody gives a fuck about my dad for real except for me. And she's gone. She's like, my whole life is ruined. And now I do have this question. Did Franklin give her that gun in the earlier seasons? Because I feel like he gave her that gun.
I'm not sure. I don't know how she got that gun.
That's a good point.
That's a very good question. I did think it was interesting. Like you said, he called her baby. Do you think that if given the opportunity, he still would have tried to work it out with her?
Yeah. I think if she would have cleaned herself up, went to college, and came back.
I think that he still thought that there was a chance. I think that he still thought that she was going to go be clean. And like, because like one of you guys said earlier, like we really weren't aware of what crack did to people at this point. Like they were still using it as a party drug slick, but they seen Wanda because they thought, like you said, she was another class of life. He probably thought she was going to go to college, the little crack smoking air phase is behind me and bounce back and be a good woman.
Yeah.
No, boss.
That's what he wanted to do.
She belonged to the
streets. I don't think he ever wanted to be with her again, but he just wanted her to get her straight.
He wanted her to be right.
Calling her baby was on purpose.
That baby was like, he didn't have to do, he could have just called her Mel.
Yeah,
like,
that was purpose.
He did it on purpose. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It stood out to me because I ain't never heard him call her baby.
And what's crazy is like early on in this season, I thought Mel was going to die. Like, because like, the way they were showing her, it was like she's either something's going to happen to her that's going to take some innocence out of this relationship.
She is technically dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Living
I'm
dead.
Glad you said
real that. Quick, though, before Walking we get dead. Out of here, though, I thought, right, that too. I thought it was interesting. The tying up Reed's storyline for this episode when he went up to Avi's. You got to give Reed some credit. He knows how to use his white privilege. He confronts everything head on, whether that means he's about to get chopped up into bits or if Avi and his people going to shoot him, blow his fucking head off.
Because I'm CIA.
He approaches it straight up like, yo, like, hey, man, this will happen. And he just hit his game face. I know he shook on the inside, but he plays it off on the outside.
And it goes, because like, remember in the beginning of the series, like he was always like nervous.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Now at this point, I do, like, he does bring it to, like, he always addresses his shit, but he also ain't no snitch either. He knew exactly what it was. He ain't tell Avi nothing about who really did it. He was like, look, I'm going to handle it. That's all that matters.
And ex-wife tried to talk soft in his ear and shit. Nigga, he wasn't going. He didn't budge, nigga. Yeah. Like,
he was just like, leave your keys on the table and shit. And make sure you got your half of the rent for this month.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. I think that was a dope scene. What we'll do now, so wrap up Snow School. We're going to grade this pack of episodes, give a standout performer. Who let you down, and a prediction for the finale.
Man, I'm grading this this pack of three as an A fucking plus. Okay. These were three very strong episodes. Nice. I thought Leon was the star. I thought he bodied his scenes in the car with both times in the car with Franklin. Mm-hmm. I thought his facial expression, like the acting without saying anything, I thought he was doing his thing. He's been low-key all-star these last two seasons, especially when Franklin went to jail. So I thought that was dope. Real quick, I thought the prediction, you know, when they show next week on Snowfall, it was all kind of like flashbacks. Like, they didn't really give you anything as to what the new episode was about.
And
so
I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, so am I. Because they didn't show Franklin in any new scenes that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see when this finale comes up. So I'm going to be real. I have no fucking clue what we're going to get in this finale.
Okay.
I think it was great. I give it an A for sure. I wanted to say the standout. It'll be easy to pick Franklin because he did a great job in these episodes. But I got to go with Man Boy and Wanda because the acting was
Wanda
great.
I was going to say Wanda too.
Yeah, for sure. Jeez, the acting she did a great job in that episode 7, I believe. So that's who I have as standout performers. I don't really have any letdowns from the show.
Yeah, no, it's been cooking.
So none of that. Prediction for the finale, I think Franklin is severely injured, but he's not dead. Reed is going to get shit cracking with Gustavo to set up the season 4. And Franklin is just going to be in a place where he's bedridden. And he has to, you know, reflect on everything and also keep his ass out of jail. Not out of jail, but he has to reflect on what just happened. Nobody's going to really arrest him for the murder of Andre. We see that now. So he got to deal with this cop who's going to be a pain in his ass coming forward. Mm-hmm.
For me, I give the pack an A. I think this is easily the best season, and these last 4 or 5 episodes prove that. And I would say that my standout is actually Jerome. I was going to pick Wanda, but Jerome, we're seeing a different side of him. Because when we first get introduced to him, he's like the goofy uncle kind of sort of, but he knows the streets. But you've seen him mature a lot, like especially what he went through with.
His fly even better. He a lot more fly now.
Exactly, especially what he went through with his chick as far as like her leaving him and then him getting her back. It was just like he's matured as a man, which is dope to see. My prediction is that I think you said you were watching The Sopranos, AB. Remember when you said Tony Soprano was locked in the hospital? It's going to be just like that. Franklin going to be out of commission. He going to be in the hospital, but he's going to be out of commission. And I think that's when you're going to start seeing Man Boy and Leon's relationship. Who's going to take over while Franklin is indisposed?
That's
a good prediction.
That's the one part of the storyline.
Do we see Mel anymore? Is she gone and she's walking out and gone, good period? Point.
I was going to give you that in my list. Well, my performers. I grade this an A+. My standout performer is Mel. I think that she played a crackhead astoundingly well. I didn't think that she had it in her. So I definitely think that she stood out in these episodes. And I say that to say, like you say, I think that she's going to flip it around. Even after this or what happens, if it's true or not, did she shot Franklin, I think she's going to be able to flip it around and even come back to the regular Mel, whether that be wherever they take her character. I think that she's done a great job.
I think she's done for the show.
I agree.
Until some part of season 4. Because I was mentioning like with Oso, like we haven't seen his chick all season.
Nope.
And like she just up and left too. So I think
they're trying to act like she did.
Well,
I don't
think
she did. I think he said she was trying to find herself. All the shit she's been through, she's just trying to, she needs to refresh.
Yeah, I think she's gonna pop back up.
So
Mel is gone, though.
I didn't really have a letdown either. Mel was my standout performer, and my prediction for the finale, I do think that if Franklin is bedridden and commissioned, that that was the setup for some major character to get killed. I think that since Franklin is going to be out of the way, it's going to open the door for somebody to make a mistake, and it's going to be a very costly mistake, whether it be Andre, whether it be Manboy, whether it be Leon, or even Auntie. Somebody's going to make a costly mistake trying to
keep it everything for what happened afloat. With
Franklin and, and keep everything afloat, and that's going to cost them dearly. So I think that's what's going to happen, somebody making a costly mistake based off what happened to Franklin. This has been Snow School. We definitely appreciate you guys rocking with us. One more episode for the finale. We're going to be joined by some special guests. We'll keep you guys posted on that. We appreciate you rocking with us. Give us some feedback on all the comment sections that you find Realville Media. Let us know what you think, anything you want us to add. We appreciate you guys rocking with us. We out.
Way more chemical than political. PTSD from what I wait on the digital. It was snowfall and Reagan gave me the visual. Obama opened his doors knowing I was a criminal.